back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I was in Atlanta at the national championship game, and I saw Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, does a great job covering college football, in the press box. He was one of 900 media credentialed for the event. Dennis Dodd joining us now. Dennis, where do you live? Are you in Kansas City?
Yeah, I live in Kansas City in the state of Kansas suburbs, absolutely.
What is? How are the Chiefs fans dealing with this possible three-peat?
I've been all over it. I covered my, I think, sixth AFC championship game Sunday. I was out at the availability yesterday. They are definitely not getting tired of it. I sense the country is, but we're here. I wrote about that yesterday. But, I think they treasure what's happened. We are at the brink of history. I saw someone at another outlet wrote today, it's like, well, they're going for the three-peat, but the Packers did it in, 65 and 67 before the Super Bowl. This doesn't even compare to what that was. I know those Packer teams were great, and that was a dynasty. But when you have to go through a 17-game schedule, then the playoffs, and hope against hope you have home field, that's what this is all about. And they've done this. This is incredible.
And the Chiefs fans, if you think back, and you've been there forever, like, you know those fans have paid their dues. It's not like, but there would be a bandwagon element to it. Some fans maybe who never said they were Chiefs fans are suddenly Chiefs fans. What do the KC fans do with those people?
Well, there aren't many of those, because this phenomenon of the Chiefs has really been going on since 1989. When Carl Peterson came in as GM and Marty Schottenheimer came as coach, and they had been not even lovable losers. They were horrible since about 1970, when they won that first Super Bowl, to about 1990 when they started to turn things around. And Arrowhead Stadium, John, you know this, Arrowhead Stadium is, one of the loudest places in sports. And what's really neat is it really is a college atmosphere. The tailgating out in the parking lot. It's a huge parking lot. The fans are absolutely bought in. There aren't many fair weather fans. The fans are here all pretty rabid.
Now, the outside world is ready to sign a petition to boycott the NFL until officiating, its changes and, criticizing Patrick Mahomes and Taylor Swift. But what are the Chiefs saying? You were in that locker room and you've talked to them. What are they saying?
Yeah, Trent McDuffie was pretty good Sunday night after the game. I asked him about, is the world getting tired of the Chiefs winning all the time? I can't believe I'm saying those words, actually. But he said, if you're not doing it, people, he said, I'm glad for the hate, because if we weren't doing it, it would be bad. His brother was a big Patriots fan when they were making their run, and he hated the Patriots because of that. So he basically said, bring it on. By the way, Trent McDuffie has come here and really made a mark for himself as an all-pro. Had that blitz on the 4th-and-5 against Josh Allen, which was tremendous. Great call by Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, and he's become a mainstay here. But I think they hear it. I think it motivates him. I know it does Mahomes, because he's like Michael Jordan. Remember when Michael Jordan played quarters? Remember the last dance where he was with the guy in the stadium? He'll do anything. He'll compete at anything. So I know it's getting to him.
We're talking to Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. I'll get to college football, but, you made a point in your piece today about, this is market 33 in TV. If the NFL was going to have a conspiracy, it would not involve market 33 in Kansas City. but why do you think outsiders look at the Chiefs and go, this is a conspiracy?
Oh, I think it's a symptom of any fan getting tired of teams that win all the time. I was sick of the Patriots. I was sick of the Yankees. I'm getting sick of the Dodgers. Any team that wins that much, I think it's just, we always look as fans, as observers, want something shiny and new. And it really broke out in the divisional round game against Houston, when Will Anderson, the linebacker, got flagged for roughing the passer on Mahomes early in the game, kept the drive alive, kicked the field goal, went up 6-3. But after the game, He said, we knew we were going to have to beat the refs too. And then their coach, D'Amico Ryan, said something like that too. And it started to snowball to the point that you kind of referenced it. I think it's still up. There's a change.org petition to look at the officiating as it relates to Chiefs games. And it had been signed yesterday afternoon by 1,800 people, which I looked up was the equivalent of a population in a small town in Wyoming. So at least that many people are pissed about it.
Dennis, the NFL does so much to create parity with the draft and the scheduling, hard salary cap. How is it that the Chiefs have been here so often recently? What are they doing better or smarter?
Talent evaluation has been amazing. I mean, I probably don't have to tell you, they traded up to get Patrick Mahomes in the top 10 of the 2017 draft, when nobody else was evaluating him that high. And they were so convinced that he was going to be good, they traded up into, you know, forever lasting disgrace of the Bills. They traded up and got him at number 10, I think. But did anybody think he'd be like this? Absolutely not. You know, 50 touchdown passes his first year as a starter. But talent evaluation. Last year, they let one of their big-time defensive backs go. Jamarius Sneed. Jadarius Sneed. They let him go because they thought it was more important to keep Chris Jones, and I think they franchise-tagged him or signed him to a contract. And when everybody thought, whoa, this is going to impact the defense, it's the little things like that. Again, Xavier Worthy, who's now their number one receiver and had over 100 total yards against the Bills, they traded up with the Bills to get him. He was the last pick in the first round or thereabouts. As you remember, was the fastest guy at the combine last year. And he's been a difference in a year, John, where they've lost their best receiver, Rashee Rice. They had to sign Kareem Hunt off the couch at running back. They've had a bunch of injuries. And Hollywood Brown, their big free agent signing in the offseason, was knocked out of the regular season after two games because, I think, of a collarbone injury. So it's the talent evaluation, the coaching. Andy Reid looks like this big, cuddly guy. He's one of the more ruthless and best play callers in the game. And Steve Spagnuolo, who I think has won now four Super Bowls, one with the Rams, three with the Chiefs, is just a defensive genius in terms of scheme. And they've just done everything right. And you just said it about the NFL. The NFL is about parity, so it gives markets like Kansas City and Green Bay and some of these other places an equal shot at winning if you do these things right.
Andy Reid's 66. He'll be 67 in March. How much longer is he going to do this?
I think he's going to do it a while. I think he wants to get a look at the wins record. Belichick is close, and unless he gets hired again, he's not going to get it. Don Shula holds it. I think Andy Reid's 301 now.
Yep.
So in three years, at this rate, he could get close. So I think he's at the top of his game. He's healthy. I mean, he obviously loves cheeseburgers by looking at him, but healthy guy at the top of his game, knows how to evaluate talent and draft and coach. I don't think this is going to be a walk-off for him by any means. I mean, as long as you got, as long as you've got Mahomes, why would you?
Right. Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, with us. You know, Oregon had a great season and didn't get it done in the postseason, and there's a lot of Duck fans who are in our listening region who felt like the season was a huge disappointment. And I'm trying to say, look, this playoff, it was all new. Long layoff, ran into a buzzsaw. Who knows if you reseed this tournament, how it goes again. But what did you make of Oregon's flop in the Rose Bowl and the way their season ended?
Yeah, I mean, they got a bad draw. We know that. And I think the commissioners and the committee or whoever is going to address that. In no way was Ohio State the eighth seed in that field. I think we all agree with that. Oregon is number one. I think they're just scratching the surface with Dan Lanning. The way he's turned it around, I mean, they were very, very competitive under Mario. But the way he's kept it going, the way he's recruited, the support they're getting, not only from Phil Knight and Nike, but their supporters in, from what I am reading and seeing, is right at the top of compensation in the NIL space. They're going to be right there. To the, I guess jealousy of the Big Ten. You know, that's, they got into the Big Ten and won the thing, and aside from Ohio State, might have the best program in the league. And somebody's going to have to go and take it away from them. But I think they're doing everything right. I think they're going to win a national championship. And you said it right. It just was a flop in the Rose Bowl. That day was a bad matchup. I picked Ohio State. In fact, I'll toot my own horn. I picked the entire bracket perfectly. I got all 11 games right. And I did pick up Ohio State that day, but certainly not to go up, you know, 34-0 and then blow out Oregon like that.
Dennis, as you look towards next season, do you think we see same old in the bracket, or do you expect to see that we get, you know, NFL-like, 20 teams in 5 years? Will we get some variety next season in the 12-team bracket, or do you think we'll see the same teams?
I think it won't be the same teams, because you've got that group of five, and whether that spot, as long as it lasts, it's going to be in there. If we're just talking about the teams, that's one subject. Another subject is who can actually win it. That's another subject. Yeah, I think there'll be some variety there. I looked it up during the playoffs, and in the last 12 years of college football, basically the playoff era, there have been seven different champions. Now, they may be the blue bloods, but that to me is a little bit of variety, and I think there's going to be more. John, I know I was tired at the end of the season.
Yep.
Just covering it, 149 days, the longest season ever. And those two teams, Notre Dame and Ohio State, went that long, actually longer considering preseason. But I think it was entertaining as hell. And I think that's taken away from the same old, same old. I think there was drama there with Georgia underachieving, with Notre Dame overachieving. And again, those are brand names that, you know, those are the same old, same old. But it developed a different kind of drama. And Ohio State, I was there that day when they lost to Michigan. I've never seen anything like that in a rivalry game. They completely choked. And then they made fools of themselves, along with Michigan, in that brawl. And then from the absolute bottom came and won the national championship. That's why it was so entertaining to me. So I think, yes, it will be more of the same teams, but it's creating its own drama now. I think that's fun.
The ESPN ACC thing, the ESPN picking up the option through 2036, does that hold the ACC together? Is that chaos done now in your mind?
It is. I think it was somewhat expected, because ESPN, it's in their best interest for cost certainty to have that number be the same, or, you know, what they signed up for out to 2036. And what is that, 12 more years now, or 11 maybe? So that's good for them. It's good for the ACC, because nobody saw the challenge from Florida State and Clemson coming. And so in the middle of that, they put in this, I don't know what to call it, champions bonus or revenue sharing, where if you achieve in that league, you're going to get more money. If you're, you know, Florida State, you win the league, Clemson, if you win the league, or anybody, is going to get extra money. My question is, a lot of that money is static money they're talking about. So that means in that situation, the likes of Wake Forest are going to have money taken away from them, because that money's going to have to come from somewhere to pay the teams that achieve. So if I was schools like that, I'd be really upset, but there's not much they can do about it. And I think, yes, it will hold these teams in to the ACC, and there will be some certainty. In fact, I tweeted it, I think, yesterday. I said, this pretty much, you know, realignment is pretty much going to be quiet now. I don't see anything on the horizon unless, you know, something shocking like Notre Dame decides to join a conference, which is not going to happen. All the best brand names are now accounted for. There's nowhere else really right now to move.
Yeah, the Success Incentive Initiative in the ACC. Mm-hmm. So they'll give bonuses for the CFP berths and NCAA tournament revenue. All right, before I cut you loose, crystal ball out, give me what how many teams in the Super League? Do we get a Super League a decade from now? How many teams? How big is it? Do people love it? Do people hate it? What says Dennis Dodd?
Yeah, the Super League, in my opinion, is a non-starter for the same reason Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey won't even give it the time of day. It's not even worth talking about until these contracts expire, the current contracts. And they all come about, media rights deals, all come about in about 2031 when they all expire. I think SEC is 2033. So they would even entertain it before then, because why does Greg Sankey want to cede power and maybe his job, you know, to do a Super League? I think it's a great idea. It maximizes a sport that's really, really undervalued. College football is the second most popular sport in the country, but it's tremendously undervalued because they don't do a Super League and maximize things like that. But no, it's not going to be around for a while. I think it will come eventually, maybe after the likes of Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey retire, but they're not going to give up A, teams, B, their jobs, or C, revenue or teams.
Dennis, will you cover the Super Bowl? Are you gonna you down for that, or will you just enjoy it like everybody else in Kansas City?
I will not. It's better on my well-being and psyche to be on the couch with the family.
Yep.
Sipping a cold one than actually working in New Orleans. So no, it's not one of my favorite things to do, but I'll be watching. Yes.
Dennis, I appreciate you joining us with the time difference and everything. I'll catch you down the road. Continue to do what you do, man. Thanks for coming on.
You too, John. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. There he is, CBS Sports Dennis Dodd from the heartland of the NFL, Kansas City, bracing, trying for the three-peat. We'll talk about that coming up next.